Please open up your Bibles this morning to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 this morning, please. This morning I'm preaching a message I preached over 8 years ago here in our church. Some of you may remember it. That's just fine. I've been wanting to re-preach it for some time. I think this is a good time because here at the start of the new year, I think it's good for us to take some time to consider the issue of time and the future and eternity. So we're going to be doing that for a few Sundays here at the start of the new year. And this morning, we're after a big picture view of time. You know, sometimes when you're trying to understand something, it is helpful to be able to step back and take in the whole image in a single glance. That can provide a helpful perspective, maybe a unique perspective on what you're trying to wrap your brain around. For example, I remember when I was a kid, we took a family vacation to Chicago, and we went up to the top of the Sears Tower, now called the Willis Tower, but it was the tallest building in the world at the time. And after we rode up the super fast elevator, we walked out onto the observation deck on the 103rd floor, and we got a whole new view of the world. That was a big picture view for sure, especially for somebody like me who had not flown in airplanes many times, things like that. That was just a new perspective. Now, I understand today you can actually walk out onto one of three glass cubes that stick out off the side of the observation deck. It's called the ledge, and you can walk out there, so there's nothing between you and the street below except a hopefully thick sheet of plexiglass. That probably would not be for me. For me, it was plenty sufficient to get right up to the window and look out on an amazing panorama of Chicago, a city in motion. I mean, everywhere you looked, I could see trains, you know, moving on the tracks, and the elevated trains winding their way through the city, and boats out on Lake Michigan, and planes even flying through the air, and helicopters and cars, and more cars everywhere you look, going down the ribbons of the pavement in all kinds of directions. And then on the street directly below us, lots and lots of people that looked like ants. They were so small. Now, they weren't ants, of course. Each one of them was a living, breathing human being, just like you and me. But from that perspective on the 103rd floor, they looked like ants. And perhaps that perspective can help us to get an idea of what God's point of view must look like when He looks down at us. Except His big picture doesn't just take in a city. His big picture doesn't even just take in the whole world, but worlds, galaxies, His entire creation. In His omniscience and His immensity, God sees it all. He takes it all in. His perspective is as vast and infinite as He is. As a matter of fact, God sees all of time at once. His name is I Am. I exist. He is the eternally present God, the God of the eternal present, the one who created time itself. Folks, God does not depend upon time. Time depends on Him. But even though God is not a creature of time, He can enter into the timeline He has made, if He so chooses, as Christ did when He came to this earth and was born at Christmas so that He could die upon the cross for our sins. But folks, today, that is the big picture view that we are after, one that is so big it could blow our minds. Today, we are going to try to step back from time itself and attempt to view all of time from the perspective of God. Nobody can zoom out farther for the big picture than God. Would you take a look, please, with me at Psalm 90? And our primary text that I'd like to emphasize today is verse 12, but I want to read the whole psalm because I'm going to be referencing the psalm throughout the message. Let's read together Psalm 90, which is titled, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Moses writes, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Would you look back at verse 12 again? Moses writes, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Somebody has defined wisdom as looking at life from God's perspective. And that's what we want to try to do today. So let's ask God to give us that kind of wisdom to view our lives from His big picture perspective. As I tell you this morning, the story of the line and the dot. But first of all, let's pray together. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our gracious Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would give us wisdom today, that we would apply our hearts to wisdom, that the truths that we study today wouldn't just bounce off of our ears, but would sink down deep into our hearts and help us to live in the light of these truths. Teach us today to number our days. In Jesus' name, amen. I have 2 points for you this morning about in this message. And the first one is that life is short. When I talk about life, I'm talking about your life here on this earth, our earthly life, and it's short. And to illustrate that, I want to show you now the timeline of eternity. I've put it up there on the slide for you. You'll see it's a line with an arrow on the end. Now, the end of the line to the left that does not have an arrow on it, that would represent the beginning of time. God, the one who inhabits eternity, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, as we just read, the one to whom 1,000 years are like a single day that is past. This God created time along with space and matter. That's how the universe began. We read about it in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that statement, in the beginning, refers to the definite beginning of time. And then the arrow on the other side of the timeline, the right side of the timeline, that arrow illustrates that once time is started, it will have no end. That's what the Bible teaches. But now let's just flesh out our timeline a little bit. Because the next thing I want you to see is somewhere near the beginning of the line, packed in between those two brackets, is what I would call recorded time. All the events of known history, from creation up to the present day, as well as the events of prophecy that have not happened yet, all of those things fit in here, in between these two brackets of recorded time. Some major milestones in this part of the timeline would be the creation of the world, the global flood of Noah, the birth and death of Christ, the present church age that we're living in, the return of Jesus Christ, the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ upon the earth, and finally, the end of this present universe at the great white throne judgment. And then, folks, when God makes a new heaven and earth and the new Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven, recorded time will end, because that's all we're told about in God's Word. That's as far as our prophetic telescope can see down the timeline of eternity. And then begins unrecorded time, otherwise known as eternity. So we call this part of the timeline eternity. You know, even if I could project a line that go all the way around the four corners of this the four walls of this auditorium, even that would not be long enough to even suggest, to begin to suggest eternity. So I've just represented eternity with an arrow at the right end of the timeline, because unrecorded time will go on forever and ever with no end. Just imagine that for a moment, if you would. Endless time. Millions of years with no lessening of future time to come. And for those that are enjoying that new heaven and earth, no diminishing of joy. No more death or sorrow or tears. No goodbyes. No sad endings. No endings at all, for that matter. But no boredom either. Always new things to do, new places to explore. John Newton said it in his hymn, Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, and you can put any number you want in there, million, billion, trillion years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. That's eternity and the story of the line. Now I want to introduce you to the dot, which appears on the timeline somewhere near the end of the church age, just before the return of Jesus Christ, and not too far from the end of recorded time. And as you may have guessed, that dot represents your life on earth. And it's not to scale, because the dot is drawn way too big. But if I made it much smaller, you wouldn't even be able to see it up there on the slide. Really, that dot should be no bigger than a speck. But there you see the eternal perspective on your life. In the overall scheme of things, your life on earth is just a dot on the endless timeline of eternity. You are here today and gone tomorrow. That is God's perspective on your life and His big picture view. None of us are here for very long. Even those who live to the ripe old age of 70 years or 80 years, even that kind of a lifetime, those people are only here for a short time. We just read that in our text in Psalm 90. God tells us we're like the grass that grows up in the morning and then it's cut down in the evening to wither away. We're like a tale that is told. Literally, that is a brief, sorrowful sound. That's what our lives are like, just a short, sad sound, and then we're gone. James, in his epistle, says our lives are a vapor, appearing, disappearing in a moment, like steam rising above a teapot. And folks, God gives us these illustrations of the brevity of life in His Word so that we can come to grips with the fact that our time spent in the dot is very short. Not to depress us, but so that we might learn wisdom and we might use our limited time here on earth to the very best effect. Because even though our time spent in the dot is very short, that time is also very important. So I want to try to address one of the fundamental questions of existence. And that's one thing about the Word of God that I love, is that it answers the questions of existence. One of the fundamental questions of existence is, what is the purpose of your life? I mean, if life is just a vapor, then does it have any meaning at all? And the answer is yes, it does. But not here. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, here under the sun, all is vanity. All is empty, without meaning. In other words, nothing here in this present world ultimately matters because we're only here for a short time and this whole world is going to burn up one day anyway. So living for the dot and the things in the dot is vanity. I want to suggest to you this morning that life in the dot is not about the dot. It's about the line. The purpose of your life is to prepare you for eternity. Because what happens in the dot determines your future in unrecorded time. That's why the dot is so important. Here and now in the dot, you make the critical choices and decisions that will impact all the rest of eternity for you, my friend. I believe that fact should sober us regarding our priorities and the urgency of redeeming the time that we have been given here in the dot. Life on earth is short. Our time on earth is ticking away as I speak. My friend, your days are numbered. And no, you don't know the exact number, but God knows the exact number of your days. And they could be fewer, and they could be more than perhaps those of other people. But even if we live to a ripe old age, we don't have that many days. If you live to the age of 70 years, you will live 25,568 days on planet Earth, approximately. If you're 15 years old right now, you know what? You've already lived 5,479 of those days. If you're 30 years of age, you've lived 10,958 days. If you're 40, you know, just cresting the hill, then you've already lived 14,610 days. Today, I'm 51 years old. You know what that means? That means I've lived 18,263 days. Life goes by fast. My friend, your life on earth could end for you at any moment, and then you would enter into the realm of endless time. No recorded time on earth may not be over yet, but it will be over for you. And then you'll wait in one of two places for the end and eternity. And so the question is, when unrecorded time begins, my friend, where will you be? Our life on earth is short, but that brings me to the second point I want us to consider this morning, and that is eternity is forever. Eternity is forever. The Bible teaches us that every soul entering eternity is bound for one of two permanent destinations, either eternal heaven, eternal life in heaven, or eternal death in hell. Those are the only two possibilities. When God brings recorded time to an end, He's going to destroy this present universe, everything around us, this material creation, all this world. He's going to destroy it all and make a new heaven and earth. We read about that in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein, that's all the stuff that's in the earth and all the stuff shall be burned up. We're talking here about a giant cosmic meltdown. And so considering that, Peter goes on to say, verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. In other words, the fact that these things are going to happen should impact our lives right now. Basically, Peter is saying, don't live for the dot, because the dot's not going to be here for very long. Don't live for the dot. Live for the line and look ahead for the line. He says in verse 13, he says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All right, so one possible destination for each one of us is to live forever in the new heaven and the new earth, which is a place God has promised to all of his children. But there is an alternative destination as well. It's a place of separation from God in some unknown location in eternity that is so far removed from the new heaven and earth, the Bible just says that it is without. It's on the outside. And please understand, my friend, God isn't going to make this place someday in the future. He already has. It's already being prepared. Its name is Tophet, otherwise known as the lake of fire. Isaiah 30, verse 33 says, "For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it." What a fearful description of a terrible place. My friend, you don't want to go to Tophet. But the fact of the matter is that each one of us is bound for one location or the other. Either to heaven or to hell, Tophet, the lake of fire. So as we consider the fact that eternity is forever, I also want you to consider this morning that hell is forever. Hell is forever. The Bible uses the word hell in different ways, so I want to explain that the term hell is the word that we often use to describe the eternity of a lost person. But in reality, the Bible describes more than one hell. The word hell, as a translation of the Greek word Gehenna, for a place that is located somewhere below our feet, that hell is temporary. It is a waiting room for lost souls. It's a holding area for the real place of eternal suffering, which is the lake of fire, and we could call that eternal hell. So the Bible says that the final judgment at the end of recorded time, called the Great White Throne Judgment, all souls waiting in the present hell below our feet will be brought out of that place, reunited with their bodies, to stand before God for sentencing. There they will be judged according to their works, and when their names are not found written in the book of life, they will be cast, body and soul, into eternal hell, the lake of fire. I want to read that to you from Revelation chapter 20. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." There's the destruction of this present creation. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death," that's the grave, "and hell," that is Gehenna, the present hell, "delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell, body and soul, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I want you to notice that to be cast into the lake of fire is called the second death or eternal death. So it would not be correct to say that people will live forever in the lake of fire, because it's not life at all. It's also not annihilation. It is everlasting death. The Lord Jesus described this place as a place where the worm dieth not. The worms never cease their destructive, decaying work. It's a place of eternal torment and flame, and eternal suffering and eternal regret. A place where the smoke of the burning ascends upward forever and ever, and a place that is inhabited by sinners who die without Christ as their Savior. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable," that word means those who are polluted their lives with sin, "the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The lake of fire is a just consequence for our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve for our sin, not just physical death, but also the second death, in eternal hell. The lake of fire is the final abode of every sinner, every sinful rebel against God. And if that idea makes you tremble in your boots, it should. Would you look back at Psalm 90, please? Would you look back at verse 11? Look at what Moses said. He said, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." My friend, God really is going to pour out his wrath upon sinners. Hebrews says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So you do not want to go out into eternity not right with God and condemned in your sins. In the light of these sobering truths, I want to urge you to get saved today while you have time. Make sure you're right with God now, my friend, because there are no second chances in eternity. You won't have another opportunity then. Now is the time to decide for Christ while breath is still in your body. It is never too late in this life to come to Jesus. It's only too late after death. See, God is giving you opportunity right now to repent. That's why Christ warned people so many times in his own preaching about the everlasting fire of eternal hell. Because he wants us to repent, because he loves us. And he is mercifully giving us time to come to him. As the scripture says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, that we are not sent this moment into the lake of fire. If you get anything else from God but that, my friend, it is his mercy. And he's giving people mercy to be saved. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. We've all rebelled against God to go our own way. That's what we do. When we choose to go our own way from God, God says this way, we say, "No, I don't want that. I want to go this way." That's rebellion. That's sin, my friend. And we've all chosen to go our own way. Therefore, we've all earned the just wages for sin. But the good news is you have a brief space of time right now while you're living in the dot to make the most important decision of your life, to come to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and the free gift of eternal life. That is the most important decision that you can ever make. Your present life on earth will not last beyond the grave, so you need eternal life. And that's exactly what Jesus came to provide for each one of us and what he is offering to people today. Eternal life. The scripture says the gift of God is eternal life, not just a short bit of time in the dot. Eternal life. How is that possible? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The most well-known verse in the whole Bible, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Why would he do that? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish and go to eternal hell, but have everlasting life. My friend, if you want to obtain this everlasting life, it's very simple. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't work hard enough for it. I talk to all kinds of people, think I'm trying really, really hard to deserve heaven. My friend, you'll never deserve eternal life. You cannot buy it at any price, but you can receive it absolutely free if you'll simply believe in him, as John 3:16 says. That him is talking about the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will see yourself, my friend, as a guilty sinner who needs saving, and yes, even a bad enough sinner to deserve the lake of fire, my friend, if you will see yourself in that lost and hopeless condition in need of saving, and if you will believe in Jesus to save you, he will save you, because he has promised. Romans 10:13, just one of many promises, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can put your name right in there, my friend. The good news message of salvation is that over 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son entered into the timeline of eternity of his own free will to become a man and to purchase salvation for us by shedding his blood and dying upon the cross in our place. The one who had no guilt in the place of the guilty ones, you and me. He took our sins upon himself, all of our sin, all of our rebellion, all of our going our own way, all of that was put upon Jesus. He paid the price in full. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead in a mighty display of his life-giving power, his eternal life-giving power. And he calls to people today, come unto me and find rest. Come and take of the water of life freely. So my friend, will you come to Christ today? If you're here today without him, will you come to him? He loves you so much. He died for you. He bore your sins in your place upon the cross. He paid and suffered the punishment that you deserved for your sins so that you would not have to go to eternal hell. The same God who will one day judge sinners at that great white throne and will by no means clear the guilty, that same God entered into this world in love for undeserving sinners like you and me, so that he could become the sinless sacrifice in our place. You know, my friend, you must decide. You have a decision to make based upon what Jesus has done for you. And that decision is either to turn away from Jesus and hold on to your sins and get all that you can of your own way while you're living in the speck of the dot, or to choose to turn from sins and believe in Jesus. Those are the two choices. There are no other choices. There are no other possible destinations in eternity. But my friend, if you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your eternal destination and direction will be forever changed from down to up, and from loss to gain, and from sorrow to joy, and from suffering to bliss, and from hell to heaven. And so, yes, hell is forever, a very sobering truth, but then I also want us to think about the fact today that heaven is also forever. The new heaven and earth. I want to ask a question now of believers. You're here today. You know Jesus Christ as Savior. Praise God. He has rescued you from the penalty of your sins. He's washed away your sins. He's given you everlasting life. The question is, my friend, what is the purpose of your life in the dot? Again, the purpose is to prepare for eternity. Life in the dot isn't about the dot. It's about the line. And if we want to impact eternity here and now in the dot, we must invest in eternal things. And somebody has said, you've heard me say it before, you boil it down, there are only two things in this present world that will last forever, and they are the Word of God and the souls of people. And so I want to submit to you that the purpose in your life in the dot should be to focus on those two things. First of all, to know and love and live the Word of God. To make it a part of you. To grow and thrive in the nourishment of the Scriptures. And to grow up into maturity in Jesus Christ. And then, secondly, to love and minister to and care for and win and train and disciple and edify and equip and develop the souls of people. Talking about Great Commission living. And really, when you boil it all down, other temporal goals, other goals in the here and now, only find lasting value as they relate to those two objectives. And yes, we will have to pay some attention to the mundane affairs of life, earning a living by the sweat of our brow and all that kind of stuff, but we had better not have our noses so glued to that grindstone and be so caught up in the moment with the cares and the affairs of daily living or just having fun maybe in the here and now that we fail to step back and get that big picture view and live for eternity. If we want to prepare for eternity, if we want to impact eternity right now while we're living in the dot, we need to make some choices as well. We need to invest what God has given to us here for a maximum return there. And that includes our time, our talents, our abilities, opportunities, resources, everything that we hold in stewardship for God. Invested for eternal dividends. Would you look back, please, at our text of Psalm 90, and would you look at the last two verses of the psalm? Let's look at these verses again, because this is how Moses wraps up this whole psalm. He says in verse 16, again, this is a prayer. God, he's speaking to God here, and he says, "Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children." He's praying for God's work to be seen in the here and now. But look at verse number 17. He says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." Folks, that is a prayer for our work and God's work to be one and the same. And that is how our work here on this earth becomes meaningful. Because whatever God does is never without meaning. Whatever God builds is never in vain. And so what is the end of the matter? Oh God, let us work with you for eternity. The timeline of eternity. There it is one more time. The line and the dot. The question is, what are you living for, my friend? Are you living for the line? Or are you living for the dot? You know, you look at it from this perspective, it seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? It makes no sense at all to live for the dot. But people around us are doing it all the time, aren't they? Everywhere you turn, people are caught up in living for the dot. In fact, the majority of people in this world are so caught up in the affairs of the dot that they never take any time to really think about or prepare for the rest of the line. Many are like ostriches. They have their heads in their sand. They're pretending that there is no tomorrow. Some pretend that the line doesn't exist. Well, there is no eternity. They choose not to believe in the line. Or they get so caught up in the affairs of the here and now. Or maybe they say, hey, the dot is all there is. I mean, you know, you just live for it now. And once you're dead, you're dead. And there is no eternity. All kinds of people, my friend, are living exclusively for the dot. But instead of listening to what people say, and instead of imitating what lots of people in this world are doing, I would encourage you to listen to what the one man has to say who has entered into time from the standpoint of eternity. Because there was one man who lived and walked and breathed on planet Earth, who has been in eternity, and he has seen it all. And that man says to the lost, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Repent, lest ye all likewise perish." And he also said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And to the saints, his children, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, lay up treasures in heaven. Are you using your time here to prepare effectively for eternity? First of all, by coming to Christ to receive the free gift of eternal life, and then secondly, by living for Christ as a believer every single day. Believer, how much of your time and your thought and your effort and the love of your heart are invested in the dot, and how much in the line? Think about it for a moment. How many of your New Year's goals and resolutions even have the line in view? On what have you set the true affections of your heart? Have you set the affections of your heart on earthly vanity or on eternity? Real wisdom is to live with an eternal perspective, to live for the line and not the dot. So let's apply our hearts to wisdom, and let's number our days. Would you bow your heads with me, please?